Chapter 6, Drugs and Alcohol. Jesse, 17 years old. In my house, there were a lot of drugs and alcohol. My stepfather used to always hang out at the bars, and my mom worked in one. They used to come home around 3 in the morning and get into these big fist fights, telling me who was to blame for this and that. The fights between my mother and her husband were all over drugs and alcohol. Sometimes my mom threatened her husband with a kitchen knife. It would happen 3 or 4 times a week. My stepfather's family is all from troubled past and grew up on the street and in jail. I brought my street life into my home, and I was selling weed and coke to my stepfather. I even helped my own mother fall into that life of using coke. They never showed me love, so I figured at that time, who cares? I can make the money here in my own home. The problem was that I felt like crap. I knew there was something wrong, but I ignored it. Then me and my stepfather started getting into fights where bats and knives would come into play. All this was over the anger that my parents were addicts. This is when my life became a real mess. I had no love. I felt torn and depressed. I had no sense of direction in my life. What substance abuse does to a family. Anyone who has lived in a family where someone is addicted to drugs or alcohol knows how it can ruin a family or at least hold it prisoner. Drugs and alcohol do not just affect the life of the user. They mess with the lives of anyone who relies on, lives with, or loves the user. Greg, 16 years old. For a long time, my mom was real messed up on booze. When she was sober, she was the greatest person to be with. Real smart and funny and nice. When she started drinking, she was nasty. She was like Jekyll and Hyde, with two personalities. Sometimes she would go for weeks not drinking, and we would be like, yeah, maybe she kicked it. But then she would go gone for a few days and come back messed up and hiding out in her bedroom. Once my friend saw my mother passed out on the couch and they were cool about it and pretended not to see nothing. But inside, I felt ashamed. Why couldn't she just be normal like other people's parents? Anyone who has seen a substance abuser knows that they have a physical need to get the drugs that their body has grown used to. These needs are so strong that they come before anything else. When people use drugs for a long time, it has a powerful impact on their body and personality. As substance abuser becomes more and more addicted, they have less control over their lives. Feeding their addiction becomes their main focus in life. Many kids have said that even when there was no food in the house, their parents always had alcohol and cigarettes. Kids get the message that their parent put his or her needs first and everyone else needs second. When promises get broken. Santiago, 16 years old. My father always promises to stop drinking. Every time my mother yells at him about it, he said that he's done with it for good. To me, when he is drunk, he will promise me a lot of things too. One time he missed my birthday and promised he would make it up to me by taking me to get new rims for my bike, but he never did. I never asked him about it because I didn't want to make him feel bad. I love my father, but really, his word doesn't mean anything to me when he's drinking, and that's most of the time. Deep down inside, your parent may have really wanted to keep his or her promise. She wanted to stay straight, but without help, addictions are hard to break. So what does it feel like to have your trust broken over and over again? Well, for one thing, you might have a lot of anger towards your parent. You might feel that if he loved you enough, he would kick the habit. You might also find it hard to trust what other people say to you. You might think that everyone is going to let you down. How it feels to live with an addict. Juanita, 17 years old. There's a lot of things I would change about my family if I could. But mostly, I want to change my dad because he doesn't support us mentally or physically. I want him to use his money wisely and not gamble with it. Most of the time, he gets his paycheck, he takes it to the track and blows it. This really stresses my mom out because then there's no money for rent or food. We're always getting our phone and lights shut off. My mother is always screaming at him about how selfish he is. She says, doesn't he even care about his kids not having the stuff they need? But he can't stop. He's a gambling junkie. For years, doctors, psychologists, and social workers have known how tough it is for kids to grow up in addicted families. One thing that almost all of these people point out is that many families in this country have to deal with the problem of addiction at some point. Sometimes it helps just to know that millions of kids have gone through many of the same things you're going through. Living in an addicted house stirs up a lot of intense feelings for kids. Here's a list provided by a group of kids whose parents were substance abusers. Did they leave any out? Angry, ashamed, disappointed, sad, guilty, embarrassed, alone, tired, confused, frustrated, mad, like it's unfair, afraid, different than other people, scared, trapped, helpless, hurt, self-hatred, out of control, crazy, tense, edgy, hyper. More secrets and shame. Even when parents don't come right out and say it, many kids feel like it is their fault that their parents have an addiction. No matter what message you have gotten, no kid is ever responsible for their parents' substance abuse. Ever. Substance abuse in the family is usually something that people try to hide and keep a secret. When you feel like you're carrying a secret like this, it is like you automatically feel ashamed and guilty. This is true even if part of you knows that you didn't do anything wrong. Getting past these feelings of shame is important. Shame is one of the most poisonous emotions that a person can feel, and it can have a powerful grip on your behavior. We'll talk about how to deal with shame later. But no matter what has been going on in your house, breathe deeply and remind yourself, no matter what my parents have done, it cannot destroy the goodness and power in me. Denial. Many families don't even talk about the fact that someone in the family has an alcohol or drug problem. It is a fact that they live with every day but are silent about. When people get the message that they can't talk about their feelings, they either hide them or let them out in other ways. When people refuse to even admit that there is a problem, that's called denial. You might have heard your parents say that they can quit anytime they want, or that they only use to have a good time. Sometimes we want to believe that this is true, because if they could control their drinking or drugging, then maybe they could stop. Unfortunately, addiction is a disease, just like cancer. And unless the person with the substance abuse disease gets treatment, they probably won't get control of their addiction. If your parent is denying that there is a problem, it will be hard for them to get help. But that doesn't mean that you have to deny there is a problem. Even though the addiction is your parents, you can get help. It probably won't change their behavior and make them stop using, but it can change the way you feel about yourself, about them, and about life. You get help for yourself, you'll probably feel less alone and your life will feel less crazy. There are support groups in many places, such as hospitals, community centers, on reservations, and in drug treatment research centers. Ask a counselor, or see pages 252 through 255 of this book. Roles. When families live under a lot of stress or have a lot of problems, people in the family sometimes take on different roles to deal with it all. Some of these roles include the troublemaker, the clown, the rescuer, or the lost kid. The roles that family members play take the attention away from the person with the real problem, the substance abuser, and put it on someone else. This helps the family deny that the substance abuser is the real problem. Sometimes the roles help reduce stress in the family by letting people focus on someone else's problems. Sometimes the roles help kids get the attention they need, either through positive or negative ways. Here's an example of how a role works. Say that your family role is the troublemaker. You get in so much trouble that everyone is always busy worrying about what you did or what kind of trouble you're going to get into next, because the spotlight is always on you. Your mother doesn't have to take a look at herself and see how her addiction is affecting the family, so your troublemaker role keeps the heat off of her and on you. The problem is that it keeps your mom from dealing with the real problem, her addiction. Sasha, 16 years old. My whole family got a lot of problems, but I mostly feel bad for my brother. He don't have the love he wanted and needed from my family. They abuse him and treat him awful. They blame all of our family problems on him. Life is hard for him, so the only thing that makes him feel better is taking drugs, smoking, and drinking. After doing all those things for a while, he started skipping school. I think his future looks very bad. I wish my parents would give him the love and support that he deserves, but they don't. Right now, he's involved in so many fights. I'm afraid he's going to get killed. Everyone thinks that he's the bad one. Even though we all do bad things, compared to him, we look good. My family are weird. They are afraid to show love. They always want to go against each other. I love my family, but they need a lot of help to change. Roles don't allow the person to be who he or she really is. When people are playing a role, it can be harder to hear the voice of self. The role sucks you in. The longer the person plays a role, the more the family depends on that person to keep playing that role so the family doesn't have to face the truth. This makes it very hard for people to grow into adulthood and become whole and healthy people. Stop and think. If you are coming from a family where there is a substance abuse, is there a role you play? What do you think might happen to your family if you stop playing that role? Looking at your own substance abuse. Learning the ropes. Letitia, 16 years old. One day I was chilling with a girl that was 4 years older than me. I was 12. She gave me some weed. Everyone in the room was smoking, and I didn't want to look like a little kid. I was afraid they would laugh at me or tell me to get lost, so I tried to smoke it without coughing too much. I didn't like it at first, but it made me feel kind of down with them. Later, I used it more because it helped me to lose stress when I used it. I thought, if my mom uses it, why shouldn't I? Parents' drug problems can sometimes get passed along to their kids. There are a lot of reasons why this happened. First, you spend a lot of your childhood watching your parents use drugs or alcohol. For some people, the first cigarette they smoked was their parents, or the first sip of beer they had was at one of their parents' parties. Even if your parents didn't mean to, they probably taught you about using just by you watching them. Even if you hated living in the house with a person who was dependent on drugs or alcohol, part of you might say to yourself, if they like it or need it so much, there must be something good about it. Other reasons why we start using. Latrell, 15 years old. The first time I started using drugs was in the 7th grade. I guess I did it because I felt like no one in my family loved or trusted me. My parents never asked me about school or how I'm doing. I use the drugs to relax my mind so I don't have to think too much about what is wrong with my life. Owen, 16 years old. When I used to do drugs and drink, it made me feel older by having young kids look at me and see what I was doing. I thought I looked tough at the time. Stop and think. When did you first use drugs? Sniff, inhale, or drink alcohol? What made you try it? What did you think afterwards? Whatever the reason you started using, you got something out of it or else you would have quit. Maybe you liked the high or maybe you did it to be down with your friends. But whatever the reason, it gave you something that temporarily made you feel better. Cooler, older, freer, mellower, more relaxed, less angry, or less sad. But when you're really honest, you can see the drugs took away from you. Shaniqua, 15 years old. While I was drinking, I stopped concentrating in school. I just never went, and I didn't care less for my family and friends. I didn't listen to the people who care for me and was wanting me to stop. One time when I was drunk, my friend said something to me that I didn't like, so I threw her across the room and hit her a couple times. Then I walked away like nothing even happened. That's what drugs did to me. You should also know that smoking marijuana in your teenage years screws around with the way that your brain grows and develops. The part of your brain that plans about the future, understands the consequences of your actions, and makes choices is still changing as a teenager. If you're smoking marijuana a lot, you are most likely decreasing the power of your brain. This is no joke. We know pot seems like no big deal compared to other drugs, but it is not as innocent as you think. Also, smoking a lot of marijuana makes it harder for your brain to make the juices that make you feel good naturally. Over time, drugs might become the only coping strategy that a person has for dealing with conflict or negative emotions. If this is the escape hatch to your problems and you don't have any other tools to deal with them, chances are you will always turn to drugs or alcohol to deal with your problems. Using drugs and alcohol to cope with your tough emotions or problems lets you escape them for a while. But the deeper feelings you are running from don't get dealt with. The more you get caught up in using drugs, the more you lose touch with your self-core. Choosing drugs to run away from our problems leads us away from the power and wisdom of the deeper self. It is the core self that has the power to help us with problems in a real way. Using drugs closes the door on our true strength. It keeps us in the dark. Javier's story is a good example of a problem that led to negative emotions that led to him using marijuana to escape. Javier's problems in school started when he was in the 5th grade. School was hard for him and he found it boring and frustrating. When things got to be too much for him, Javier would act out and the teacher usually had to stop teaching in order to deal with him. He spent a lot of time in the principal's office. His mother was called to school almost every week. This created big problems at home and Javier was always losing privileges or being grounded. By the time he was in high school, Javier almost never went to school. He spent most of his time hanging out with other kids who were truant and smoking pot. Sometimes he would steal or deliver drugs for older guys to get money for marijuana and beer. 2 times he was arrested for stealing. This made him feel worse about himself and more alienated from the people and places that could help him deal with his problems. Javier didn't want to think about his future because people kept telling him how hard it was going to be for him to make a living if he didn't have a high school degree. When Javier was high, he didn't think about feeling like a failure and a loser for basically dropping out of school. He also didn't think about how much he had disappointed his parents. However, when he was smoking pot or getting drunk, he felt overwhelmed by his problems at home and school. All he could think about was getting high to feel better and shake his fear and shame for a while. Javier's story may sound familiar to you. Maybe your problems didn't start with school. Maybe it had to do with your family or the abuse you might have experienced or some of the high-risk choices you made. All of a sudden, you might notice that you feel tense or angry all the time. When we live with these difficult feelings, like shame, rage, sorrow, or fear, it can seem like a heavy weight on our back. We're always looking for a way to get rid of this weight, even if it's only for a short time. In order to shake those feelings off or to escape them, many kids turn to drugs and alcohol. What triggers me? One way of better understanding your drug or alcohol use is to think about the thoughts or feelings that trigger you to use. Just like certain events trigger our anger, certain problems or emotions can trigger our impulse to use drugs or alcohol. For example, when you feel stressed out, nervous, ashamed, bored, or angry, are you more likely to use? What thoughts are in your head about your drug use or alcohol use? Do you tell yourself that you deserve to feel better, so why not get high? Do you tell yourself that everyone around you is doing it, so why shouldn't I? Philip, 18 years old. When my friends have a party, it's hard for me to go and not drink. They use the homeboy excuse to make me drink. Even if you say you don't want to drink, they say, do it for your son, man. Do it for your homies. And they love to pressure you to drink so much that you can't do anything but knock down to the floor. You've probably figured out by now that the risk of us getting involved in unsafe or high-risk behaviors becomes much greater when we're stoned or high. How many times have you done something when you were drunk or high that you wouldn't have done if you were sober? Is your behavior on drugs different from your behavior when you're straight? Krista, 17 years old. I used to get high every day. I would hang with whoever would give me the drugs. I didn't care what kind of people they was. I did things I was ashamed of with guys to get the drugs. Then I got to the point where I was looking like an old lady with bags under my eyes. And I looked so dirty and smelling bad. It took a while for me to stop, but I finally did. And I'm not putting any more drugs into my body ever again. If you are using drugs, it is difficult for you to live to your potential. Drugs cover up the power of your core self. In other words, despite what you may think, you're smarter, stronger, and healthier when you're straight. Stop and think. Take a minute and think about your beliefs and attitudes about using drugs. Then, as honestly as you can, write down what you get from using drugs and what you lose. Don't just think about the present, but picture your life 6 months, 1 year, and 5 years from now. Unless you really believe that drugs and alcohol will not work as a lifestyle choice for you, it will be hard to leave them behind. Getting help. At a certain point, drugging or drinking might become a hardcore habit or an addiction. Not doing it might feel strange to you. You may be at a place where you don't realize how dependent you are on drugs and alcohol, both physically and emotionally. If you have a serious problem, you're probably going to need help to deal with it. At the back of this book, you will find numbers for places that can help you kick addiction problems. However, if you are still denying your problem, you probably won't decide to get the help you need. Many people have to bottom out before you will get help. Just remember, drug and alcohol problems only get worse with time. The sooner you do something about it, the easier it will be to deal with.